I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live two-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today. There's going to be a lot of people that read these articles and they're going to say, hey, listen, I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm okay with that because it gives me a good opportunity to go make some gains. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with my main man, Jake Sheehy.
How you doing? How you doing?
Those of you that are new to our podcast, we do two recordings every single week. Mm-hmm. One of them is Whiskey Wednesday, where we dive into some hot topics, some questions, some short-term rental tactics and strategies. And then on Fridays, we jump in with experts, right?
Oh, yeah. Great episodes. Today, we have a good amount of stuff for seasonality. Today's episode is all about understanding seasonality. Okay. We're going to go into the tips for people right now, how to get, you know, the best prices, maximize your asset, longer stays, be on the top of the mind, all kinds of stuff. And then we're going to dive into, is now a good time to buy a short-term rental? Mm. We're going to answer some questions that we saw and kind of dive into
mixed
this link.
Mixed reviews on that one, I know. So yeah. I'm excited about that. All right.
So stay for that towards the end. But right now, let's jump into seasonality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So right now, this is peak season for most people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're rolling into peak season for a lot of people right now.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of people want to know, how do I get the most amount of money for this? Is now a good time for them to be boosting prices, or is now a good time for them to be lowering prices to stand out? What does the pricing strategy of this look like?
Yeah. So one, this is the time when I always say, you make your money during the peak season. Mm-hmm. Property, short-term rental owners, we make our money and the majority of our profits during the peak season. Mm-hmm. Now, we also, for the majority of people, leave the most amount of money on the table during the peak season because of pricing.
Right.
And so it all depends on what phase of pricing you're in. So really quickly, we look at it, pricing in three different phases. Launch phase. When we're launching a brand new property, we're going to have a different strategy for pricing during that launch phase.
Okay.
We're going to do the optimize phase, which is starting to stabilize our prices, get to where we want to be as far as, like, you know, where is our stable price at? And then we have what we call the maximize phase.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to quickly go through each of those phases because they're easy. Once you understand the goal to each of those phases, it will be easier for you to help figure out what you need to do during this peak season to maximize the revenue that you're making on your property.
Okay.
So as short-term rental owners, during the peak season, we always want to see our calendar booked out fully, right? And sometimes when you book your calendar out too fast and during the peak season, while it makes you feel really good, you look at a book calendar,
a lot
of times you leave a lot of money on the table by doing so. So first and foremost, you really, really need to understand what is the average booking lead time for properties in your area and the size of property that you have in your area. Okay. Many people don't understand this and they have this blanket discount policy, this blanket pricing policy that tries to optimize booking a property out 30, 60, 90 days in advance during that peak season because it looks good on our calendar.
Right.
The problem with that is when you do that, if your average lead time in a market is much shorter than that, the way you get those longer term bookings is you have a lower price, right? So you book them cheaper and then ultimately that night is gone when you could have got maybe 20, 30, 40, 50% higher on your average time. So first of all, understand that. I'll go back to that. I'm going to loop this all the way back around.
So
bear with me and stay with me here because it is important for property owners to understand how to maximize their revenue during the peak season, because this is where a lot of people I see leave a lot of money on the table. Mm-hmm. If you're in the launch phase,
yeah.
It's a brand new listing. You don't have a lot of reviews. You're ultimately trying to show the market, hey, I've got a property. Nobody wants to be the first person to a party. Mm-hmm. And so during that launch phase, we need to entice the consumer to book our property. The easiest way to entice them is with a lower price. So mm-hmm. if you are launching a property during the peak season, it's nice because you've got a lot of eyeballs on it and you got a lot of people coming to your area to mm-hmm. book a property. Mm-hmm. It's not that nice because during that phase, our strategy is to book them at a lower rate. Mm. We're going to have a lower than optimal rate on our property so that we can do, we're trying to do accomplish two things during the launch phase. One, we want as many people coming in that 30 to 45 day window as possible mm-hmm. so we can generate 10 to 15 reviews as fast as possible. Okay. So mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're going to try to train the algorithm. There's so many people who talk about tips and tricks and right. hacks and everything yes. else on ranking yes. higher. Mm-hmm. And I can promise you the way to rank higher is get your property booked.
Yeah.
And once you understand how to book a property and get the consumer to say, I want that property above and beyond everybody else's, then you will rank higher, period. I don't right. care what anybody else tells you. And they just figured out a simple trick that they figured out yesterday. And they're not going to tell you about it because they just figured it out. It's a bunch of bullshit. They don't do it.
yeah.
Just figure out yeah. basic marketing, okay. consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have a brand new product, the best way to get consumers to buy it is give them a discount to try it. Mm-hmm. Right. So totally we do that during the launch phase.
Right.
So you're going to leave a little bit of money on the table if you're launching a property during the peak season. But the goal is to train the algorithm that, hey, I have a product that the consumer likes. And when the consumer likes it, that algorithm is going to rank me higher because they're going to say, hey, we make money on Sean's property because mm-hmm. the consumers are purchasing it and mm-hmm. booking the property. The next thing they want to see, which is really important, is to get those 10 to 15 reviews because the algorithm is also judging to say, am I a problem child or not? And if I'm not a problem child, they want to see those 5-star reviews because they don't want to have customer service
right,
issues.
Right.
And so they want to see that not right. only do they make money with us, they want to have a property that they make money with that is zero problems,
right?
Right? That is right. a no headache type of a uh-huh. property. So all we're trying to do during that period, not necessarily maximize our revenue, we're trying to maximize our reputation on the algorithm so that we rank higher long-term. Mm. So then once we have those first 10 to 15 reviews coming in and we've got a property that's ranking higher and we train the algorithm that, hey, the consumer likes to convert on our property or that we do, we have a listing that converts to their consumers.
Right.
We've got a good ranking reputation. And so now we're going to say, okay, now we're going to start to inch those prices up.
Mm-hmm.
That's during the optimized phase. Every time we underwrite a property, we look and say, okay, where do we want to be in the market? I want to push toward the top of the market. We have to do that slowly. Mm-hmm. So now during optimized, we're going to raise our prices every 2 weeks by about 5%. And we're going to make okay. sure that we're maintaining a certain volume of listings, usually 1 to 2 listings a week. We want to be able to maintain, right? Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden I get 4 bookings a week and we're like, well, I want more than 1 or 2 a week, pretty quickly, you're going to run out of inventory. If my average night stay or my average length of stay in a property is 3 to 4 nights, which mm-hmm. it is in most markets, mm-hmm. somewhere in that 3 to 4 night, let's say it's 3 nights, and I book 4 stays in a week, that sounds really good. It looks really good, but it's a short-term issue because if I average 3 nights mm-hmm. for every stay mm-hmm. and I booked 4 of those in a 7-day span, I booked 12 nights in a week, right? So I'm going to run out of nights pretty quick because yeah. consumers are only booking so far out in advance. It goes right. back to what is our average lead time on bookings.
Mm.
And so I have to watch all these numbers really, really
right.
closely.
Right,
now,
right.
Don't fall asleep on me.
Here. I'm with you, dude. No, I'm with you. I'm taking notes because I'm trying to keep it all down.
Just stay with
me. I'm with you.
All right. So now what I'm looking at during that optimized phase, raising those prices until what I maintain the optimal nightly rate that I'm trying to shoot for when I did all my underwriting.
Okay.
What is the average nightly rate in that market? If I've got an existing property and it's 2 or 3 years old, I better be paying attention to what are consumers paying in the top, middle, and bottom of that market, right? And mm-hmm. saying, I want to stretch for the top of that market, so I need to start raising my prices.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to start to hit a stabilized period where we're like, okay, this is where I really expect to be. My average lead time is really close to, you know, what the average is in the area. My nightly rate is pushed up to where I want it to be pushed to. Then what I do is I test what I call the maximize phase. You're always going to hover in your optimized phase long term. But what we do is we test what we call maximize, because what we will do then is actually push our prices by 5 to 10% until we start to see a decline in the bookings. And we start to say, okay, what we're trying to do is say, how much is the consumer willing to pay for this property? Yeah. And once we push it so high, eventually we're going to lose bookings. And then we go back and say, okay, I need to now lower it 5 or 10% to where I stabilized 1 to 2 bookings a week, and you're going to live in that optimized phase. During your peak season, it's really, really critical to try to push that price to maintain 1 to 2 bookings a week in a short lead time, in a short, like whatever matches your area, and every area is different. So those people that are saying, hey, if you haven't booked 30 days out, you need to discount 10%. If it's 15 days out, you need to book discount another 10%. You got a 20% discount. If it's starting to get shorter, you're within a week of somebody showing up. Okay. If I followed that advice on one of my properties, my average lead time on one of my properties is 9 days. And so my average guest books within 9 days of staying in my property. Wow. Can you imagine if I followed that advice, I'd leave 20% of discounts on the table for my average booking. Mm. Now, other properties book out further in advance. So you have to really know what that number is. And what you do is you're gonna look at it. There's an average lead time for the area. You really want to say, what percentage of consumers are booking 30 days, 2 weeks out, a week out? And if you have 40 or 50% of the consumers booking properties within 2 weeks, why would you ever discount 30 days out and leave money on the table?
Right.
It's one of the most common pieces of advice we hear people that are so-called revenue managers out there giving advice on and saying, hey, listen, if you're within 30 days out, start applying discounts. That leaves a lot of money on the table for a lot of people if they don't understand what their market is doing. So long-winded answer on pricing, but pricing is it doesn't have to be a complicated strategy. It's not hard once you really understand what your ultimate goals are with pricing your property. But when it comes to maximizing your revenue, you're always trying to balance out, how much can I charge, keep my occupancy at a normal level, not a really high level, because there's an inverse relationship to pricing and occupancy. The higher my price, the lower my occupancy. The higher my occupancy, typically I've got a lower price. And so I'd rather have higher price, lower occupancy, less wear and tear, same revenue, right?
Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
But the biggest misunderstanding when it comes to pricing is the average booking lead time in your area and applying discounts way too soon, especially during the peak season.
Mm, okay. To make sure I heard this correctly, I'm taking notes. So if I'm launching a property right now, the rubber is hitting the road. So I'm just gonna kind of have to take a little bit. I'm gonna go lower prices because I want to get those reviews. I want 10 to 15 reviews. I kind of want to get some credibility. I want people and algorithms to say, okay, he's not gonna be a problem. Then, you know, next year starts rolling around. You've been through this, you've been winded a little bit. So now you're gonna start. I think something that was really important was every 2 weeks, 5%.
Yeah.
That was really important in my opinion. So I'm going to start raising this, and I'm going to
slowly
don't, start.
Don't jump it too fast, too soon, because what happens is you might get away with a 5% raise, a 10% raise. And at the end of the day, that can be a lot of money in your pocket. But what if you jumped at 20% and you heard crickets and you think it was that price raise? So you drop it right back down to where you were at before, and you could have got away with a 10 or 15% raise, but the 20 was too high.
Right.
So you want to do it 5% every couple of weeks.
Right. Okay, so then, and then another thing was having to regulate emotion. And this kind of goes into the longer stays here with the lead time. But how do you, so your property is at 9 days. In my opinion, that seems like that's not a lot of time at all. Like if I have an empty calendar, that stresses some people out. This is livelihood on the line. But having 9 days, that's not a lot. So how do you kind of, I mean, you have the reviews and stuff. How do you weather that storm? That seems kind of terrifying, no?
Well, it's terrifying because you're not educating yourself on the actual numbers in your area, the underwriting of your area. I have the number one producing property in that area. Right. And if you look at my calendar, it almost is never, like beyond 30 days, I almost have zero bookings ever.
Right.
On a rolling basis. And people will look at it and be like, how's that number one revenue property? Mm. Calendar's wide open. Well, it's because everybody books within 9 days. I mean, the majority of my customers are booking within a week or two. And so I usually have pretty full calendar in that 30-day mark, but beyond that, nothing. And so It's understanding the strategy. It's understanding the numbers in mm-hmm. your market and being comfortable mm-hmm. with what you're looking at and saying, yeah, this is my pricing strategy. This is what we're going to do. Yeah. You know, I always think about the movie Braveheart. Remember, you ever watched
it? Oh, yeah, I've seen Braveheart.
And old William Wallace, and he's uh-huh. got the whole line of people. You uh-huh. know, the whole army is, the Scots are all sitting there, and they're behind their shields, and the English army's charging them on horses, and he's sitting there saying, hold, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's having the confidence to hold,
yeah.
knowing that by holding, you're going to maximize the revenue on that property because yeah. of the strategy you're employing. But mm-hmm. it's, I think that the issue with most hosts mm-hmm. is they're not confident with their strategy. They're not confident. And, you know, who can blame them? I mean, every time you turn around, somebody's telling you to do something else, right?
Right.
You know, we're just one person that's telling you to do it a certain way. You better have confidence in the strategy that you're mm-hmm. that you're going after. But these blanket suggestions on pricing and discounts and everything else when it comes to 30 days, 45 days, yeah. 2 weeks, whatever it is, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have to make your decisions based on your property, your market, and the data behind it.
Man, I love how you did the Braveheart thing.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense in my head. That helps me with the confidence and the comfortability aspect of it. Okay, so then now we're moving into the longer stays. I feel like we've talked about this a couple times, plenty on the podcast, but is there a certain amount of stays that you like? You want them to have 3 nights, 4 nights? Is it just depends on the market
yeah.
and that kind of thing?
It totally depends on the market. I think the consumer is yeah. going to self-select the right, you know, you're going to be pretty close to whatever the average length of stay is in your market for the mm-hmm. most part, right? Mm-hmm. The bigger the properties, the longer the stays are going to be, average.
The yeah. bigger the property, the longer the amount of stays.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like a small 1 or 2 bedroom property can be, somebody can get away, do a quick weekend getaway. They can go right. for 1 or 2 nights, and it's usually mm-hmm. one family, a couple,
yeah.
and it's not a lot of planning. A lot of times they're last minute things, right? And they're like, hey, let's just run up the mountains. Let's run to the beach. Let's just right. go enjoy this property for a short period of time.
Right.
If you have a 10-bedroom property or an 8-bedroom property and there's three yeah. families going, and it takes a lot of planning. It's mm-hmm. more of a trip. It's more of a vacation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of vacations aren't planned for 2 or 3 nights, right?
Right.
And so
okay.
what happens is those larger properties are usually going to have longer stays because it's multiple families coming together. It's a trip that was planned. They're also going to have longer lead times. We were just talking about mm-hmm. lead times. Those properties are not going to average 9-day booking lead times. They're going to average yeah. a lot longer lead times, right? And they're going to be on the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have 3 or 4 families getting together and staying in one property.
Right. That
there's
takes
coordination
yeah.
and people having to plan this out. Mm-hmm. It was usually something that was planned out,
yeah.
you know, further in advance than, hey, let's all get together and go hang out for the weekend type
right.
of a trip.
Oh, I love it. Okay. That was that was a really great answer. I love that. Okay. Top of mind campaigns. So this is peak season. Are they sending out fun things to do in the area right now? I mean, would somebody dare send out a discount right now? But it depends on their lead time, maybe. Mm-hmm. But is this a good time to really start ramping that up?
So here's the, like, what now we're taking this whole different topic, right? We're
okay.
saying, okay, our whole strategy, a lot of people are trying to maximize their revenue during the peak season.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying, when it comes to top of mind campaigns, let's just like break it down what that
okay.
means, is we're generating leads. And we have what we call indoctrination campaigns. And this is for our direct bookings, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is to say, hey, we want to start communicating with the people that are interested in coming to our property. So they go on an email list and we have an indoctrination and we tell them all the great things about the area. And then we have a top of mind campaign, which is typically a newsletter for our property. And every
yeah.
single month we send something out mm-hmm. that says, hey, here's the festival going on. Here's mm-hmm. the car show, or here's the fair or the rodeo, or the flying kites at the beach, whatever it is, right?
Uh-huh.
Your area has stuff going on every single month.
Right.
And so we send out newsletters highlighting restaurants and local shops and
right.
activities in that area.
Right.
right. So just so that everybody listening knows what we're talking about really mm-hmm. quickly. Most of the time, during your peak season,
mm-hmm.
people forget that that's the best time to advertise because it's the most time. That's when the most eyeballs are on in your area. The most people are interested in the area.
Right.
The drawback of that is most of the time your calendar is pretty booked. And
mm-hmm.
so you're generating all these leads.
you're running, you know, we run ads throughout the peak season. We generate the most amount of leads during the peak season, but we generate actually the fewest bookings.
Really?
From those leads, because what we're really trying to do is take advantage of building our list. And so top of mind comes down to just making sure that they know when they're interested in the area. Top of mind campaigns actually come down to how do we, like, we have a list and then we maximize that list during the shoulder season. Typically, we don't typically maximize our direct bookings during the peak season, because the peak season there, our properties are already booking. There's people, but we're generating a lot of people coming in during the peak season. Mm-hmm. Right.
I love it.
And so, so when it comes to top of mind, almost never do discounts during the peak season, but we have a lot of really great things to talk about during the peak season. And so we'll build that list, make sure that they get used to opening our emails so that when the peak season rolls out, we have way more people to communicate with in, you know, the wintertime on a beach area to say, hey, by the way, you're checking out the area, or maybe you stayed in our property or stayed in the area during the summertime. Mm-hmm. Here are the things we love about it in the wintertime. Right?
Right.
And we've already warmed that list up. We've already been emailing them. They're now part of our newsletter, and we're going to capitalize on those people coming into our campaigns right now during the peak season. We're going to capitalize on them in 6 months or 8 months, because inevitably people call us and say, hey, listen, I've got all these bookings. I need to start sending out newsletters. And you're like, well, you don't have anybody to send it to because you didn't do what you needed to do 6 months back. So let's start doing it now.
I love it. What does so you say you have your calendars booked a lot, but there's a couple, it's, you know, just a couple spots where it's not booked. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, do you think, with the consumer's mindset where they see, your property's super booked, is there a thing in their mind where they're like, oh man, this is going to be a great property, we got to book it. Even if it's a shorter stay, we got to book the property. Is that a thing? Or do they go, they don't have enough time for me? Is it kind of like that?
I think when it comes, there is. There's consumer behavior is universal across the board, whether it's booking a property, buying a t-shirt, you know, going to a restaurant, like I said in the beginning, in the indoctrination, nobody wants to be the first to the party, but we all want to be doing something that everybody else is doing or everybody else said was awesome. And so when you see a property that has, you know, a bunch of 5-star reviews and the calendar is very limited, you have a good marketing, like the way we articulate what we have to offer, that consumer is going to say, hey, listen, this might be one worth making some concessions and try to shorten our stay here. It looks like a great property. Depends on what you have to offer. But if you're doing everything you should be by having a great property, having a great experience, being able to articulate that experience in your listing, now all of a sudden the consumer is like, okay, there's some scarcity there, right? The calendar there's a limited inventory for me to choose from. Right. There's some scarcity that just validates everything that they were already thinking based on the marketing and the listing that we've already put together and articulating what we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And so consumer behavior, when there is scarcity, we're always like, okay, well, this might be gone if I don't book it. So I'm more you know, inclined to want to book it or figure out something that works for me.
Mm, I love it. Okay. Now here's an extra question I have. This is kind of like a worst case scenario, I guess, but I just wanted your opinion on it. So you have a beach property.
Okay.
It's a big group, maybe 3 families. They book a couple nights, right? But they trash it, right? It's a tough one. So what's the best way to handle it? You know, this could happen to one of our members. How do they handle the situation? Because in my mind, I go, do you like tip the cleaner more? Like, how do you handle the review process? Do you give them a bad review? Do you have to would you go through the trouble of filing insurance claims if they did something, you know? Or do you kind of just You take it on the chin and you just keep chugging along.
Right. So one, realize that most properties get trashed very seldom, right? Maybe once every few years you might have somebody that had a party in there and it was way worse than normal.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a lot of times, like, we just take it on the chin and we just say, hey, listen, but we do pay the cleaners more. We don't expect the cleaners to do it at a discount. We always tip them more if I have a property that they have extra work to do. We have supplemental damage insurance that if we have some damage and we can claim it, we don't have to go to the, we don't have to go collect it from the guest.
Right.
Most of the time, 90% of the time, we leave the guest out of it. We don't leave them a great review.
Right.
Most of the time, we don't go and leave them a bad review. For the most part. A lot of times people just like I had the property one time that, I mean, the cleaner sent me pictures and it looked like they just filmed The Hangover. Right. I mean, there were liquor bottles everywhere. We had beds out on the deck. We had mattresses out on the deck.
That's crazy.
There was mattresses up against walls. One of them was out on the deck. And it just looked like a disaster.
Right.
And at the end of the day, there really wasn't any damage. I mean, we took the cleaners a lot longer to clean it. We paid them extra. We actually called the guest. The guest was super embarrassed. She was actually really good. We're like, hey, listen, I mean, what in the heck, you know, was going on there? I mean, it would have been nice to be invited to that party, but I mean, and she was really embarrassed and good about it.
Oh, that's good.
Some guests are not that, you know, not that great about it. She actually was like wanting to pay the extra for the cleaning and everything else. They actually reached out to us. We didn't reach out to them.
Okay.
They knew they left it really bad.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, most of the time we don't track guests down. We have supplemental, damage waiver insurance that the guest pays $59 for, and we can make a claim, get things taken care of. And we do that once in a while. And it's a nice thing. So we don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we typically just move on because that's the business we're in. You're in hospitality. Once in a while, you're going to have a party on your property, but it's so rare. Yeah. It's not something you deal with on a regular basis.
Okay.
And so because they're more one-off situations, we hear those stories a lot because, you know, in the online world, those are stories that are told and they're interesting, you know, and, you know,
it gets the buzz, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really happen.
Doesn't happen that often.
I mean, if it does happen, you take it on the chin, you keep moving on. Yeah. It's not really like that. Yep. Okay. I love it. Okay, that answers a lot. Pretty much all the questions we had for seasonality. I kind of want to transition into something a little bit different now.
Okay,
I want to shout out Graham Hardy from our group. He sent a link to investing.com. I'll read a little bit of a snippet right now. But so people are hearing about the lifestyle asset, right? The short term rental, the seasonality, making money, all this stuff. They're like either fired up, they go, I want to get into it. So the question is.
Hey guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only three things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today.
Is now a good time to buy? So then we take a look at this link, investing.com. It says this: Redfin, the technology-powered real estate brokerage, has reported a significant shift in the U.S. housing market. For the first time since records began in 2013, there are 34% more sellers than buyers. The data shows an estimated 1.9 million home sellers compared to 1.5 million home buyers, which equates to an excess of 490,041 sellers. According to Redfin, the growing imbalance between buyers and sellers is expected to result in a 1% drop in home prices by the end of 2025. So back to the question of, is now a good time to buy? Reading something like that, do you take it with a grain of salt or do you think, jump in, baby, let's go for this?
Yeah, that we're rolling into a more of a buyer's market, right? It's like, hey, listen, sellers are, there's a lot of people putting properties on the market. You also have a lot of people testing prices out there that are not necessarily like, hey, listen, I want to sell my property, especially in the short-term rental markets. There's a lot of properties that are hitting the market that are completely unrealistic. We're in big time buying mode right now. I am very, very optimistic about the opportunity right now buying because a lot of people are reading these exact articles. They're sitting on the sidelines. Warren Buffett, I live and die by what he says, you know, be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy.
Right.
Right. And, and that is the time right now. People are fearful. It's time to really look and say, where are the opportunities and say, you know, that it's basically predicting a flat market, a 1% drop. That's across the board. Markets don't appreciate or depreciate across the board equally. You know, you have markets that are higher appreciating, lower appreciating, all those different things. So do the research in your market. And it's smart to do that, right? Yeah. Figure out what your, but you got to look at it. Always look at it in a 10, 20 year time horizon, depending on how long you're going to hold the property. If you're like, hey, I'm going to be in this for 5 years, look at it a 5 year. The problem with looking back 5 years right now is you're not seeing any dips, right? You're not, you're going to have an unrealistic. If I say, hey, listen, I'm going to look back at the average appreciation in my market for the last 5 years,
right?
It was almost any market you look at is going to show an unrealistic rise. Because the last 5 years doesn't cover any dip. Like, you need to be able to look at an up and a down.
Okay.
And so by going back, like, I go back 20 years now, because even 10 years is not going back far enough to capture. I mean, because if you go, we're 2025, you go back to 2015, we've still got a 10 year upswing. So I go back 20 years to capture the losses and the depreciation that happened during the Great Recession to look at my average appreciation. Okay. I don't look at it short term, like a year or two. What I look at during these turbulent times is good buying opportunities. If this is a buyer's market, not a seller's market right now, you can negotiate good deals. You can get good buys. You can do a lot of things when you're not competing with a lot of people right now. And there's a lot of really good opportunities. We're also buying long-term assets that cash flow. So who cares if it goes down or is flatlined for a year or two while things bounce around? There's also another thing that is really interesting right now is there's a record $7.2 trillion, I think I heard last week, in money market accounts. And people put money in money market accounts during uncertain times because they want them in just a little bit better than putting it in a savings account. So you basically have $7.2 trillion, more than it's ever been in money market accounts in history, sitting on the sidelines. When you have $7.2 trillion sitting on the sidelines, eventually that money's coming back out and it's going to be put into typically tangible assets. Real estate is the most preferred tangible asset that most of that money is going to be put into. And so it is a very interesting time, because there's also a lot of money sitting on the sidelines getting ready possibly to be deployed. I think 2025 is going to be fairly turbulent. I think it's going to be a bit up and down. I don't disagree that there's probably a 1% price drop. The issue with that is if you can get into the game and secure some assets, load the bases with quality assets, when that money starts to come back into the market and prices do start to take off, you're going to be so much better off having secured assets when they start to go up in value than trying to buy them when everybody else is trying to buy them. Because now all of a sudden we're going back to the right after COVID era is the last time people can remember when you're competing with 30 people and 50 people and you're having to pay $50,000 or $100,000 over ask just to secure a deal. And I mean, I'd way rather be buying in an environment right now than when everybody wants to buy and competing and paying way more, because that extra that I'm going to pay is going to be way more than the flatline appreciation that I didn't have to, that, or that I didn't realize during this time when it's kind of bouncing around a little bit. So I don't think that we're going to see, there's too much money sitting on the sidelines. The demand for homes is still very, very high. In most of these markets, these homes are not sitting on the market very long. It's still not even showing, statistically a seller's market, which is statistically, they say a neutral market is about 6 months of inventory sitting for about, 6 months on the market.
Wow.
We're not, I mean, most markets you're still selling, in 3 or 4 months or less is the average time on the market. So, there's a lot of things to read into, a lot of things you have to look at. I personally like to be buying during these times. I think there's a lot of good opportunities. On the flip side, you look at the asset class you're investing in. For us, we're looking at vacation homes. The estimated dollars the consumer is spending on vacation homes continues to go up every single year. It's anticipated to grow at 11% year over year till 2033. And so the dollars the consumer is spending in our space on the product, not buying the properties, on staying in our properties, continues to go up. So I think it's a very viable asset class. I'm excited about it. I think that it doesn't really matter what I'm doing. There's going to be a lot of people that read these articles and they're going to say, hey, listen, I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm okay with that because it gives me a good opportunity to go make some gains. I have been doing this for 25 years and most people that have been around, you know, during, I remember the Great Recession and everybody saying, I'm not touching a property right now because if I buy it, it's worth less tomorrow than what I bought it for today. Mm-hmm. The people that made the most money during that time were the people that were loading the bases and buying properties during that period.
Oh, man. That was a great answer, man. I love that. That was fantastic. That was pretty much it. That was all the thing. Okay. We had 33 minutes. Killing it on time.
Good. Good job, man. It's nice when you got a good producer.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Stacking the questions up.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Also, let me just say this real fast. I had this bullet point. It was stuck in my head, especially with your loading the bases. If it's peak season right now and you're doing really good, I encourage you to next year get even more.
Yeah. For sure.
If you're having a good time, that's great. And you have a calendar booked and you're making money, great. Don't get comfortable, man.
No.
The money's still being spent. You can make more. Keep going after it. Yeah. Just a little bit of encouragement there.
And get that strategy, like we said, you know, and understand, hey, listen, you might be sitting in that optimized phase and you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Push it.
Go into that
maximized phase. And again, maximized phase is short. It's short term, right? You're just testing it. Within our Vodacy family, every single, like we hear all the time, holy crap, I never thought I could get this. The data on AirDNA didn't show that I could get these nightly rates. So I underwrote it here and the market is telling me I can even get higher. And they would never do that if they weren't pushing that maximize. So if you're doing well, test it. Test the market and see what the consumer is willing to pay. Mm. And like you said, go get your unfair share of that money that the consumer spending, because that's the name of the game.
I'm loving it. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Awesome, guys. We'll wrap it up. You guys know where to find us. We appreciate your time. We know how valuable it is, and we hope you got value out of this show. If you know somebody else that would like to be a part of these conversations, we always ask that you share the show. Those things help us grow. We don't run ads or sponsorships. The only thing we talk about on the show are some of the things that we're doing personally, and usually that's letting you get more information and helping you really walk into this game with your eyes wide open. That's ultimately our goal. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.